Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Till 9 o'clock. And of course, tomorrow will be Turn Back the Clock Day. If you're a Minnesota Twins fan, one of the pinnacle moments in franchise history. Game 7. 91 World Series at the Metrodome, Atlanta, and Minnesota. The Twins won it in 10 innings, 1-0. It was an instant classic the minute it finished. And joining us now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline is the skipper of the Twins in 91, also in 87 when they won their first ever World Series, Tom Kelly. And TK, first and foremost, glad to have you on the airways with us, and I hope you're staying safe and powering through this pandemic.
Everything's good so far, E, and hope you and your family are doing fine as well. But, yeah, we've been getting through it like everybody else.
Yeah, it's been tough. Obviously, we're now into mid to late May. Usually this is when you're in a baseball groove, but there are no games. So we're looking back a lot. And CCO, of course, carried the Twins back in 91. And it really goes down as an iconic matchup. Braves, Twins, Jack Morris, John Smoltz. It went 10 innings. 1-0, the Twins got the victory. And what do you remember about the effort of Jack on the mound? Because he just had that tenacity, that determination, that look in his eye, as if to say, hey, we are going to win this thing, and I'm going to make sure it happens.
Well, all those comments or quotes you just gave, E, are all correct. It's hard to add to that. Smoltz pitched a terrific game, no question. I mean, we were over in the dugout trying to figure out how to score a run. And here's Jack out there. What was it, the third time? And it was either 10 days or 11 days. I'm not sure. But he's pitching and pitching and pitching and got out of a few things. Make no mistake, he got out of a couple jams, made some good pitches, and got out of it. These kind of pitchers don't come along very often. We all know them as the horse. Horse, you got to have a couple horses on your staff to carry the load, stop the losing streaks, all that stuff. And he fit that bill, dotted every I and crossed every T. He was certainly the man, and he carried the load for us in the series. And mind you, other starters did well as well, you know, also, and you know, Tappany and so on and so forth. But Jack certainly stole the show that evening and got it done. But you know, he was that's why he's in the Hall of Fame. Let's put it that way. That's pretty much sums it up. He's a Hall of Fame type pitcher, and I guess if you go through the 80s and early 90s, he was one of the most dominant right-handers for sure in Major League Baseball, without a question.
Yeah, and when you say horse, I know you're not kidding, because you've spent some time at the track in your day, and Jack really was a thoroughbred that night, and legend has it, you know, you came out to the mound to talk to him, and you couldn't have dragged him off the bump with a tow truck. What was the conversation like?
Well, we were taking a breath, basically, for a minute or two, and let things settle. And we wanted to walk Justice, or I did anyway. Wanted to walk Justice and pitch to Bream, figuring we'd have a better chance for double play. And so when I went out to the mound, I said, Jack, I think it's probably a good idea that we walk this guy and then we'll go for the double play. And now everybody agreed that was what we want to do. I think, you know, when I'll be perfectly honest, when I left the house to go to the ballpark that evening or afternoon, I was praying that we didn't have to make many decisions and let the players win or lose the game and hopefully played well and we'll let the cards fall where they may. But the game was full of decision-making, so it was, our prayers were answered at the end of the game, no question. But we sure were thrust into it, and we didn't want to be, but we were. And some of the things worked out well, and some didn't. But Jack threw a good split finger to Bream, and he rolled it over to Herbeck, and the rest went down in the book there. And Harper, Brian made a terrific return throw to Kent and for a double play, and that all worked out. I when they were coming off the field, I was so confident we would score, and I believe we had a good chance to score and didn't score. But like I said, we were trying to figure out how to score a run off Smoltz, and that didn't work out, that's for sure.
Tom Kelly, our guest, two-time World Series winning skipper of the Twins here on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline on CCO. And, boy, you think about Game 6 and then 24 hours later in Game 7, some unbelievable baseball theater, TK. You saw Kirby Puckett put that team on his back in Game 6, climb the plexiglass to rob Ron Gant of extra bases, then the walk-off home run. We'll see you tomorrow night. And then what Jack and John Smoltz did in a losing effort. I'm not sure Major League Baseball's had two better nights on the biggest stage.
Well, you make a good argument. A lot of people think the same way. I got asked, I did a story for a fellow in New York, New York Times writer. I believe he's doing a book, but about World Series and managers and this and that. But he asked basically the same thing. And I always thought when I was growing up, I was 25 at the time, but when the Reds played the Red Sox, and that was quite dramatic as well. I thought that was, I think people argue which one was the best, and we're happy to be in that conversation, but Kirby sure handled the load there on Game 6 night, and offensively as defensively, as you pointed out. But so much emotion, that's what I was really concerned about for the following night, is that the team would be too emotionally drained after Game 6, and I remember Knobloch just jumping up and down in the clubhouse and I just trying to calm him down and reminding him we had to play again tomorrow. So he was really going goofy. But it was quite the scene, and Kirby delivered like he did so many times for the Twins fans.
What would have happened had you gone to the mound and said, Jack, I need the baseball, I'm going to the bullpen?
Well, I wouldn't have done it going to the mound unless things were really bad. Things never got to that point. But after the ninth inning, which is, I think you're trying to ask, I thought that was enough for Jack. How much do you expect him to pitch? Like I pointed out earlier, this is the third time he's out there, and, you know, he's given you nine innings. Just how much do you think he can pitch? That's a question you have to ask yourself, and you don't have much time to decide. We had Aguilera down the bullpen, who was probably one of the more dominant closers that year, and he was good to go for a couple innings for sure if things worked out. So I said to Jack, I think that might be enough, Jack, and how much, can we expect? And he looked at me with the puppy dog eyes, and I stood about 3 feet from him, and Dick Such came over to me, and he talked to Jack, and he come over and said, you know, he's okay to go out there. And I said to myself, well, you know, the guy's pitching a game of his life, and who am I to take him out, you know? So I looked back at Jack, and he gave me the I'm okay thing and the eyeballs, and I said, well, go get him, Jack. It's just a game. So I don't know where that came from, but it came out. And Eric, I'll tell you, that's exactly how I think it went down. Now, there's other versions out there where you've heard of cursing and swearing, but there was, believe me when I tell you, there was none of that.
Well, that's good to know. And, of course, as time goes on, 87, 91 Twins, two World Series titles, your fingerprints on both teams as the manager. What does that mean to Tom Kelly? To know, I mean, you think about Minnesota and you follow sports, and we've had some great teams up here, but the Wild, the Vikings, the Timberwolves, they haven't been able to close the deal. I mean, outside of the Minnesota Lynx, it's been rather bleak. And you've won two titles. What's that mean to Tom Kelly?
Well, I think more importantly, what it meant to the fan base, the state of Minnesota, surrounding areas, you know, we draw some from Wisconsin and Iowa and the Dakotas, of course, but I believe that it really meant a lot to the fan base and the or if you're not a big fan, you probably became one for a little while anyway, but it meant a lot to a lot of different people, and I really didn't figure all this out, Eric, until afterwards. You get so concerned about winning a game and hoping the players play well and play the game the right way and put on a good show for the fans and around the world. So these are the things that go through your mind as the manager. But afterwards, a week or so, the chief of police came in from Minneapolis and St. Paul and decked out in full dress, and they had some other officers with them, and I thought I was in trouble or something, to be honest, but they come in and said, we just wanted to come in and thank you. And I'm sort of looking at them, and Andy McPhail was with me, and he sort of look at each other and say, well, what? Well, you don't understand. I said, no, I guess I don't. I said, I didn't hit any ball, or I didn't throw any, I didn't catch any. So the players are the ones that are to be congratulated. And they went, no, you don't understand. And they proceeded to tell me how the crime rate and the peacefulness in the Twin Cities at that time had gone down for a good month through the playoff and the World Series, and they were so thankful, and they just wanted to show their gratitude to Mr. McPhail and myself. But like I told them, I said, yeah, well, you should be thanking the players because they're the ones that got it done. But I was so impressed with that, I never have forgotten it. It was quite a thing that came unexpected. Also, we received, you know how the fan mail comes in, Eric. I'm sure you get tons of it. You get a lot of autographs and things and sign this, sign that. Okay. We tried to catch up with it, and it had piled up some because we didn't have time to attack it, so to say. So we started opening up letters, and so many letters from men and women older saying that their families were reunited with the playoffs and World Series and brought our families back together. We've been, you know, having some troubles and this and that, and how it unified us again, and we sat down together and watched, and it became a realization to me that it's just not so much the team coaches, players, manager. It's about the people out there and how this event affected so many, and that you don't realize, the construction workers downtown, as you saw, they had the big lights up on the building there. They're doing some construction or whatever, Twins win. I never knew that was there, so until I saw it on the news or in the magazine or someplace I saw it. But it was, you just don't understand how many people are affected by these major events that happen, especially with your home team, per se. But so I've got a better realization in life, I guess, a life lesson that you just really don't understand how much having a team play in these World Series or Super Bowl or whatever it would be means to so many people.
And you know what's just mind-boggling, TK? I was thinking about this before the interview. So the Twins win that World Series October 27th, 1991. 4 days later, the Halloween blizzard of 91, close to 30 inches of snow in the Twin Cities. You had two unbelievable snapshots in time in the state of Minnesota within 4 days of each other.
Yeah, it was quite an event. I had just moved into a house. We were the only house on the block. It was in the woods a little bit, but I called the Grubers in White Bear Avenue out here in Maplewood, and all of a sudden here comes a pickup type truck with a bed on the back, sort of, and in the back is a snowblower. And they got it started up in the truck and got it down the hill and down the little ramp. And he plowed me a path to the garage and said, okay, here you go. So we spent the rest of the day throwing snow just like, but I don't know what I would have done. I had a shovel in my hand. That wasn't going to work. So, but it was quite the thing. I remember the next day, waking up, and this is when I realized it was, all this stuff was finally over. I woke up and I was thinking at who was going to pitch tonight, who was our pitcher, and who was going to be playing. And I finally realized that we don't have to do that anymore. So, and that's a very true story. It scared me a little bit afterwards, but I figured I was just worn out from the World Series and then the snow event. The mind can be a very dangerous thing, as Mr. Randy Bush always pointed out. And it certainly was that morning. But, two big events within 4 days. That was quite the thing.
All right, TK. Hey, thanks so much for spending part of a Friday night with us. We'll have that Game 7 replay tomorrow beginning noon here on CCO. So if you want to tune in, give it a sample. Rumor has it ends pretty well.
Thank goodness. Yeah. They should have split the trophy, that I felt, at the end of that, but that's not the way it works. So we were very fortunate, and let's hope the Twins can find a way to get it done, hopefully this year, if we get out there and play and enjoy Twins baseball, because it's been pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt. A lot of optimism going into 2020 before the pandemic. All right, thanks so much, TK. Stay safe. We'll touch bases soon.
Yes, sir.
All right, he's Tom Kelly on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline, two-time World Series winning skipper of the Minnesota Twins here on Sports to the Max on WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.